getting you caught up on all things New York Giants. Plus, it is the Crossover Thursday show with Locked On Falcons host Aaron Freeman coming up next on the Locked On Giants podcast.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Traina, and it is a Crossover Thursday show. We are going to have Aaron Freeman, who is the host of the Locked On Falcons podcast. He'll be joining me a little later on in the program, but first, we've got some things to take care of Giants-wise, and I also have a special invitation for everybody, but some housekeeping real quick. I want to thank everybody who has taken the time to write, give me feedback on YouTube, who has subscribed. Really, really appreciate the feedback. It's been very positive. I didn't know how this was going to turn out with YouTube, but you guys and gals have made me feel so welcome. And I really am inspired to do even more great content for you folks. And again, I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for subscribing, liking the channel, giving me feedback, good or bad, and just following along. So thank you, folks. Now, before I get into the Giants stuff for today, a couple of other quick hits. Number one, make sure you check out the very end of this podcast because I'm going to have a special announcement on how you can get involved in the Friday podcast. Now, I know it's kind of a quick turnaround because the deadline for this for your participation is at 6 o'clock on Thursday. But I hope enough of you see this before that and will take advantage of this and want to get involved with it. And all the details will also be in the show notes if you want to get involved in this special podcast that I am planning for Friday. So that's coming up at the end of the show. And then finally, folks, I just want to quick mention that I appeared on Aaron Freeman's podcast. Now, he's not on YouTube, but the Locked On Falcons podcast is available on basically wherever you get your podcast. So I will put a link in the show notes for you if you want to listen to what I had to say about the Giants. And of course, there's also information in the show notes about the special pool that we're running here for listeners and viewers on YouTube. So we've got a lot going on here at the Locked On Giants podcast. Hope you will check all that out, get involved, give me your feedback, what you like, what you don't like. And let's keep building this channel. We've got some great momentum going. And I appreciate it. All right, folks, let's get into now the Giants news that you need to know. And we will start off with the Giants Wednesday injury report. Couple things here worth noting. Evan Engram was listed as a limited participant. Now, Engram, this is interesting because head coach Joe Judge happened to let it slip that there was some contemplation, I guess, back when Engram was initially injured that they might put him on IR. But I guess the determination was that it wasn't a minimum 3-week injury, which is what the IR term is now. You have to miss at least 3 weeks. So they carried Engram on the 53-man roster with the hope that they would have him back for week 3. Now, as I record this, Engram, again, was limited in practice, but let me just tell you what I was able to see during the open part of practice to the media. Engram, I thought, was moving around well, didn't look like he was bothered at all or slowed down at all. Am I certain if he's going to play on Sunday? I can't say that right now, and here's why. I need to see what he does Thursday. If he's listed as limited again, that to me will tell us that they increased his workload just a little bit. And if he continues to be limited all week, which is what I think will happen, I think he's going to be listed as questionable. And I think come Sunday, he's going to be a game time decision. A lot's going to depend on how he comes through the Saturday walkthrough and how he comes through the pregame warmup. So Engram right now, the jury's still out on him. And this is worth mentioning because again, the Giants didn't put him on IR. They could have used a roster spot for something else, for another position. They felt that he wouldn't be out for a minimum of 3 weeks. So they're either going to look smart for this or they're going to look foolish in not making that decision. So we'll see what happens on Sunday. The other injury of note I want to mention, Kenny Golladay was listed as limited with a hip ailment. Now, this is new. As everybody knows, Kenny Golladay during the summer was dealing with a hamstring issue. The hip ailment, as you probably know, last year, Golladay missed most of the season with a hip ailment. Now, I don't know if this is related. I can only assume, but you know what they say about assuming. So, when I saw hip as the injury listed for Golladay, right away, some warning bells rang in my head. And I'm a little concerned about that. Now, let's see what happens. It could be just, rest or, whatnot. But, then again, Golladay on Monday, when he spoke to the media, said he was feeling good, not too sore. And now this hip ailment popped up. So something, I don't want to say something's fishy, but this is a situation that bears watching. And I don't mean to be an alarmist, but this is something I think we need to keep an eye on as we go through the rest of the week, if Kenny Golladay is able to play. All right. Speaking of Kenny Golladay, let's move away from the injury report here. And let's talk about a topic that was brought up during head coach Joe Judge's presser. Now, everybody knows about how Kenny Golladay was caught on camera screaming at, Jason Garrett. That's who it was revealed he was screaming at, not Daniel Jones. And Golladay, owned up to it on Monday when he spoke to the media. And today, head coach Joe Judge was asked about it. And the only reason why I'm mentioning it is because a question kind of popped up today when we were talking amongst ourselves in the media room. How is this different? How is what Kenny Golladay did different than what Golden Tate did? When Golden Tate basically, was screaming about getting the ball and venting frustration. And I thought at first it was a valid question, but I also thought about it a little bit. And never mind the fact that Golladay is probably, a lot better of a player than Golden Tate was, at that point in his career. But I think the difference is Golladay didn't go and purposely look to find the camera. It was a sideline moment that just happened to be caught. And from what Joe Judge said, and I will play you the clip of what Joe Judge says, I will play you the audio so you could hear for yourself. It was just Golladay, venting in the heat of the moment. And Judge talked about how, he and certain players are always going back and forth. And he admitted that while there's a fine line between being disrespectful and being competitive and heated, it just sounded like Judge didn't see a problem with what Kenny Golladay did. Now, I didn't hear it. I'm not going to pass judgment, but I will play you the clip and you can draw your own conclusions about what Judge thought about it and what he had to say. So let me play you that clip right now.
Yeah, I'd like to clarify. I mean, I said the same thing the other day. To me, speaking with emotion and fighting are two completely different things. Now, maybe it's because of where I grew up and how it is. I mean, maybe I talk with my hands a lot. Maybe I raise my voice a lot. I don't know. Maybe I don't overreact sometimes to volume. Look, I got to apologize to certain people on the sidelines. Sometimes we have, support staff out there or, people that help us. And I got to kind of tell them on the front end, like, whatever I say today, like, don't take it personal. In the heat of the moment, things happen, things get going. Look, like I said the other day, when there's something that has to be disciplined, I'll discipline it. I talk to all parties all the time. We're very transparent, open with our team. Look, if there was an issue, it would be handled. I love the way Kenny competes. The one thing I really love about this guy, he's got a lot of fire. Got a lot of fire, and he wants to go out there, wants to be successful. The conversation the other day wasn't anything in terms of an attack on a coach or a player specific to you have to do something. That it was just simply put of, hey, I can do this. Give me a chance on this type of route, whatever it may be. Those things happen a lot. Happen a lot. I mean, look, I'll be honest with you, like, me and Nate Ebner may talk like an old married couple. Normally comes to the sideline, and, our volume doesn't really get restricted too much. He may come over and, give me or T-Mac what's on his mind. And at the time he's come off the field, you're playing with a lot of adrenaline, a lot of emotion. Things happen right there. Now, there's a fine line between disrespect, fighting, and communicating with volume and intensity. We know the difference right there. We know the difference.
Okay, so bottom line, I don't think we're going to see Kenny Golladay benched. I don't think he'll be inactive. It sounds like it was just, heat of the moment. frustration venting. And oh, by the way, I pointed this out, I know on Giants Country, but Kenny Golladay was targeted 8 times. He had 3 receptions. He failed to come down with 3 contested catches, which is, you know, supposedly one of his strengths, and he had a drop pass. So was Kenny Golladay frustrated? Yes. Should he have been frustrated with himself? Absolutely. Was Jason Garrett's play calling at times, you know, frustrating? Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll give you that. But, you know, it just sounds like to me, after hearing Golladay speak about it on Monday and Judge speak about it on Wednesday, much ado about nothing. It's obviously not the same as what happened with Golden Tate, but I just felt it was worth mentioning that because I know a lot of you are still interested in that. I'm getting a lot of questions about whether that means the team is coming apart at the seams, and it's not, as far as I can tell. At least it better not be, not ahead of Eli Manning Day. But anyway, all right, Giant fans, coming up next, we have Aaron Freeman joins me for the crossover show. Aaron Freeman is the host of the Locked On Falcons podcast, and he's going to give us all the info we need to know about the Atlanta Falcons who come into the Giants to face the Giants this weekend at MetLife Stadium on Eli Manning Day. So we will have that for you coming up. All right, Giant fans, coming up, we have the crossover show with Locked On Falcons host Aaron Freeman. But first, let me tell you about Rock Auto. No matter what you need for your car or truck, Rock Auto is sure to have it in its extensive online catalog. They offer brand name parts for every make, model, and manufacturer, and they ship directly to your door at highly competitive prices. Visit rockauto.com and write down Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. That's rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Hello, Giant fans. And now we move to the crossover section of our show. And joining me for this week is Aaron Freeman. He is the host of Locked On Falcons. You've seen him before. He was with me in the preseason when we were previewing the Falcons, and he is back to give us an update as well as the lowdown on Atlanta, who lost a pretty ugly game to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last week. But we'll talk about that in just a moment. First, Aaron, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, it's been a pretty ugly season for the Atlanta Falcons. Hopefully things will get a little bit more lovely this week for them facing off against this Giants team.
Not on Eli Manning Day, man. It's not happening. But we'll talk about all that in just a moment. So, Aaron, I got to start off with this is a question I'm curious about on offense. You know, the Falcons traded away Julio Jones, and we weren't quite sure what the offense would look like, you know, who it would revolve around, how it would change. Now that we're a couple games in, you've got Calvin Ridley. He's the top dog, I think, at receiver. Kyle Pitts, who's a unicorn. How much of a change have you seen in the offense? Or are they still trying to kind of, figure out what they're all about under Arthur Smith?
Yeah, it does seem like they're still in that figuring out phase. Much to my chagrin, they didn't really get the starters much opportunities during the preseason, which I think a lot of people sort of see it as an opportunity to start figuring things out and getting those guys reps in a brand new offense. So it's kind of been a situation for this Falcons offense where they're doing that right now. And it's not helping that their offensive line has really struggled in these first two games against Philadelphia and Tampa Bay. And Matt Ryan was under a lot of pressure. And even though he's somewhat familiar with this Arthur Smith offense, given that it's derivative of the Matt LaFleur offense that he ran in Tennessee in 2018. And of course, Matt LaFleur is a disciple of the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree. And obviously the Falcons ran a highly effective, and Matt Ryan was an MVP in that Kyle Shanahan offense back in 2016. You know, he's still sort of getting a feel for this offense and sort of exactly how Arthur Smith is running it. And so you did see better performances from players like Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts in week 2, as opposed to week 1, where both of those guys were relatively quiet. So I think the Falcons are trending in the right direction, but at some point they're going to need to get this offense firing on all cylinders. And obviously the sooner that is, the better for them.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but their running game is still something of a question mark. I mean, is how much has that been holding them back?
Yeah, it's been a big part of their offensive struggles because their offense hasn't been able to stay on schedule in those early downs, and that's put them in some unfavorable situations on third and longs. That was especially the case in week one. It was a little bit better in week two, but they really struggled running against that Tampa Bay front. They really struggled in short yardage situation. There were like five plays where the Falcons had 1 yard to go, and they were unable to gain a single yard in any of those situations. And obviously that's telling that if you can't get 1 yard, that's a big problem for your offensive line. I think things are at least potentially trending in the right direction. I know going up against this Giants defense, it hasn't been great defending the run so far this season. This is an opportunity for them to, you know, get off to the start rushing the football that they want to. You go back to that week one game against Philadelphia in the first two drives where they were able to move the ball before things stagnated in red zone. They were effective at running the football. Basically, since then, they have not been very effective running the football. So we've seen the sort of the potential of this Falcons running game spearheaded by players like Mike Davis and Cordero Patterson. But it just hasn't been as consistent as this team needs it to be in order for this offense to be able to, you know, as I said earlier, fire on all cylinders.
Now, interesting with Cordero Patterson, he's a wide receiver, but they've been utilizing him more as a running back. And of course, the Falcons, I think, also picked up former Giants running back Wayne Gallman, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if he's on, is he on your practice squad or is he on the 53? I can't remember.
He's on the 53, but he's been inactive these first 2 weeks. I think the Falcons are trying to bring him along slowly as he gets more comfortable in this offense.
Yeah, he's a guy who, when he was with the Giants, I always used to say how much I loved how he ran because he just took what was there. And, you know, he wasn't always looking for the home run ball or anything like that. So I think he's a guy that will help out the Falcons running game. Hopefully not this week, but down the line, certainly. Now, I got to ask you about the offensive line because the fourth quarter of that game against Tampa Bay, I think Mario Edwards had two batted passes, if I'm not mistaken, both of which were returned for touchdowns. Is that offensive line as bad as it looked, or was that just a fluke?
I think it was a little bit of a fluke, but certainly I cannot say anything positive about the Falcons offensive line based off of how they performed these first 2 weeks. So yes, the offensive line is as bad as it looks. And yes, I do think those two pick sixes was a little bit of a fluke.
What's the key for the Falcons on offense, do you think, against the Giants? Because, you know, they've had some problems defending the middle of the field. You know, they haven't been as physical. They've been playing way off receivers. I mean, obviously Pitts can, I guess, threaten the middle of the field, but what do you see as the biggest key to the Falcons, you know, having success moving the ball against the Giants?
Yeah, I think it goes back to being able to quote unquote establish the run. And I think if they can sort of be successful on those early downs, they can get into some third and more manageable situations. And given the concerns that they have for their offensive line, that should at least put that offensive line not in too dire a situation where players like Leonard Williams, among others, can sort of pin their ears back and really get after the quarterback. The Falcons left guard situation where they have a rookie in Jalen Mayfield. He has struggled in these first two games. I don't expect him to perform much better against guys like Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence in week three. So I think it's in the Falcons' best situation if they can run the football early on first and second down, get into third and manageable situations, move the chains, and, you know, be able to set up that play action passing attack where they have struggled to generate explosive plays so far this season. And I think that will be a big element for this offense to potentially take flight going into week three if they can do those things.
Now, before we get to the defense, I've got to ask you about Matty Ice. You know, there was some talk, I think, in the offseason that maybe the Falcons might move on from him, that he wasn't the same quarterback, that he was, you know, in the decline, what have you. Again, new offensive system. You mentioned some familiarity, new weapons, no Julio Jones. I mean, when you look at Matty Ice, Matt Ryan, the quarterback, is he much different than what you can recall? I mean, obviously he's getting up there in age, but, you know, can he still be a good quarterback? Has he still been a good quarterback, or is he being held back by the newness of this offense and getting used to the new receiving weapons that he has?
You know, again, Patricia, I think this is a yes and yes. I think Matt Ryan is still capable of playing at a high level. We haven't quite seen it yet this year. I don't think it's been an ideal scenario for him these first couple of games, given how much more dominant the opposing defensive lines have been in comparison to his offensive line. Watching the tape from week two, there were so many plays in week two where it felt like Matt Ryan was quickly going to the check down because he did not have the confidence in his offensive line to hold up for him. If there was just a flash of pressure, he would quickly go to the check down. So you're not really getting this offense developing at the high level where it is. I think if they can protect Matt Ryan better, you will start to see him play much better. But I think there is certainly an argument to be made that Matt Ryan is probably not the same player that he was a couple of years ago when he was playing at a very high level. The question is, how close can this team get him back to that level at this point in his career? And so far, the returns on this 2021 season have not been particularly promising, but obviously there's still a lot of football left to be played. And I think these next couple of games will tell us a lot, because I don't think you're, no offense to the Giants, but I don't think you're going to be facing as formidable a defense in New York this weekend as you face with Philadelphia and Tampa Bay in weeks one and two. So I think this is a golden opportunity for Matt to sort of bounce back this week. If he can't do it this week and he does not play well, then I think there is going to be a little bit more sense of panic about whether or not Matt Ryan is going to be the guy beyond this upcoming season.
All right, Giant fans, still more to come here on the Locked On Giants podcast with Locked On Falcons host Aaron Freeman. And before we continue on, let me tell you quickly about Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, info, and sign up bonuses for all your sporting needs by heading over to betonline.ag on your laptop or mobile device. When you open an account and use our special promo code LOCKEDON, you will get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Terms and conditions apply. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. And Giant fans, before we get back to the crossover Thursday show with Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons, let me tell you about Get Upside. It's a new app and it's a great app. Let me tell you about it, folks. You can get 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time you fill up at the pump. And when you use our special promo code Touchdown to sign up for your new account, you can get back 50 cents on your first fill up. Now, if you're like me, you do a lot of driving during the course of the week. Trust me when I say the savings will add up. So check them out. The app, again, is available at Google Play and in the App Store. It's called Get Upside, and you can get back 25 cents per gallon of gas every time you hit the pump. All right, now let's talk about the Falcons defense. Dean Pease came out of a retirement a couple of years ago, I think. Or maybe it was this past year. I forget the timing, but I know he had retired for a little bit, came back. He is now in charge of this Falcons defense. Give us an overview of what he has run with the talent he has.
Yeah, he came out of retirement. He's now come out of retirement twice, first with the Titans in 2018, and then again with the Falcons this year. So this is his first year. And he's been doing a mix of things so far with the defense. They've been primarily still sticking with that 4-3 sort of looks. He's been doing a lot of disguises with coverages on the back end. He's been trying to dial up pressure. The Falcons haven't been as aggressive dialing up the blitz as I expected them going into the season. We saw a lot of that in the preseason where the Falcons were being much more aggressive and attacking with a lot of different blitz looks, bringing pressure from everywhere, corners, linebackers, et cetera. We haven't quite seen it to that degree as we expected, given the struggles of the Falcons front to be able to get reliable pressure with just four guys, given it's just Grady Jarrett and to a lesser extent, Dante Fowler. Grady Jarrett's coming off a quiet game against Tampa Bay. Dante Fowler did have a sack strip in that game against Tom Brady, and that did sort of stall an early Bucs drive. So that's a positive that maybe Grady Jarrett's going to get a little bit more help this upcoming week. You're going up against a Giants offensive line that has struggled this season or in past seasons as well. So this is another golden opportunity for this Falcons front and pass rush to be a little bit more productive. this upcoming week. So I think with Dean Pease and what he's doing, this is, again, another golden opportunity for us to really see what Dean Pease's defense brings to the table. They've been a little bit inconsistent. These last two games, they've struggled in the first half of games, but they've been able to make some adjustments in the second half that has slowed down both the Eagles and Bucks offenses. And that's allowed, at least given the opportunity for the offense to get back into the game. And they didn't do that in week one. They did do that in week two. And then, of course, they had the horrific fourth quarter where they had multiple turnovers and that sort of end any chance for the Falcons to come back. So I think the defense is making strides, but it's still not quite there yet as they're still trying to get used to all these different pieces and the different looks that Dean Pease is bringing.
You mentioned Grady Jarrett. You mentioned Dante Fowler. Who are some other names on that Falcons defense that Giant fans need to know?
Their linebackers in Foye Oluokun and Deion Jones. Deion Jones is probably a little bit more known nationally, but Foye Oluokun has basically taken the reins as the team's new middle linebacker. He's calling the defense. He's going to be sort of the leader of that unit. Both of those guys are rangy, athletic playmakers. We haven't quite seen those guys play at a high level yet so far this season, but we've seen flashes from both players with that ability to make plays sideline to sideline. Those are two players to keep an eye on. Another player, but we don't know what his status is going to be this weekend, is AJ Terrell. He's the Falcons, clearly their best player in the secondary, but he's dealing with a concussion and we don't quite know what his status is going to be, if he's going to be in the protocol all week long. And obviously that puts his ability to play on Sunday in jeopardy. So I think those are probably the three players that you could keep an eye on without AJ Terrell in the lineup. You know, Fabian Moreau is their other starting outside corner. Giants fans are probably familiar with him from his days in Washington, and he's been solid. He's a little bit up and down. He's given up a couple of touchdowns so far this season, but I think he's flashed some ability that he can at least hold his own against the caliber of receivers the Giants are bringing to the table.
Where do you see the weakest link on the defense?
Well, I mean, you know, it's tough to pick just one at this point in time. You know, I think the Falcons secondary has not quite lived up to expectations besides AJ Terrell making a couple of plays here and there. So I certainly think that's going to be a concern, especially given the talent that the Giants have at the receiver position. But I think really the issue that they're going to deal with much more this week, at least potentially, is their inability to stop the run. Fortunately, because teams have been able to sort of be so effective throwing the football against the Falcons, nobody has really committed to running the football. I think the Giants, given, you know, Saquon Barkley and having a younger quarterback in Daniel Jones, are probably going to be a little bit more willing to run the football against them this week. And so this is going to be an opportunity where that run defense, if it's not tightening up, could give, you know, this team a lot more problems this week. So I certainly think their run defense is vulnerable. We haven't seen it really exploited to a huge degree just because teams have been able to throw the ball so effectively against the Falcons due to that lacking secondary. But, you know, it's not a good combination when you can't really stop the run and you can't really stop the pass, which has been the case for the Falcons. So it's hard to pick just one weakness for this Falcons defense right now.
It sounds like, and this is the final question for you, Aaron, it sounds like you're a little iffy, a little unsure what we're going to get out of the Falcons on offense and defense this week. I mean, what are your expectations? How do you think this is going to unfold? Because the Giants, as you know, they're 0-2. The offense hasn't looked horrible for the Giants. The defense, like I said, they've got some work to do. But what do you think? How do you see this unfolding, this whole game?
Yeah, going into the season, I chalked this up as an easy W for the Falcons, given my expectations for where the Giants were at and given my expectations for where I thought the Falcons would be. But how they've performed so far this season, they have been much closer to the level where I thought the Giants would be, which is probably, you know, one of the lower teams in the league, potentially a bottom five team. And the Falcons really haven't played better than that at this point in time. And I think you can make a very easy argument that even though the Giants are 0-2, they have played better than the Falcons have, at least a little bit more consistently than the Falcons have through these first eight quarters of their respective seasons. So it's one of those things where Part of me still wants to believe that this Falcons team is capable of much more, but so far they haven't shown it yet. And I think, again, this week is going to really tell us a lot about this Falcon team to see if they are legitimately a team that is better than what their record indicates, better than what their point differential has indicated. They lost two games by 20 plus points. You don't see that very often in the NFL to start your season losing two games by more than 20. That's relatively rare in the NFL, given how close most games are. Usually a single score is the vast majority of most games. And even when it's two scores, it's like 10 or 13 points in this case. So this week really is a litmus test for me with this Falcons team. And so it's hard for me to really have too high expectations at this point in time. I think these are two evenly matched teams. I think it's going to come down to the wire like so many other Falcons Giants games have come down to. It might be a game-winning field goal that winds up deciding it, like we saw in that 2018 game the last time these two teams squared off. So I just don't have a lot of confidence with this Falcon team at this point in time, but this week they could wind up surprising me in being more like the team that I thought they would be going into the season.
And of course, Sunday is Eli Manning Day, the Giants retiring Eli Manning's number 10 jersey. The significance, as you know, and I don't mean to rub this in any way, but the Falcons, the only team that Eli Manning beat at home in the playoffs, that going back to 2011 in the wild card. Eli is also going into the Ring of Honor. So it's kind of a special day. And I would imagine emotions are going to be pretty high. I would hope that, you know, at least for the Giants perspective, they don't lay an egg against the Falcons team, which I see as a wounded animal, if you will, you know, especially after how they lost. I mean, they kept it close for three quarters against the Bucs, and then to have it slip away like that, I'm sure they're angry and they're thirsty for some blood. So Aaron, great stuff. Giant fans, before we say goodbye, make sure you check out the Locked On Falcons podcast. I will be discussing the Giants with Aaron. So if you want to see what I had to say, you can check out his show. And make sure you're with us again tomorrow. We'll have an all new episode here of the Locked On Giants podcast. All right, Giant fans, if you've made it this far, then you are going to find out about how you can get involved in Friday's podcast. Now, for tomorrow's podcast, I am planning to do a podcast devoted to the man of the hour, the man who's going to have his jersey retired on Sunday, who's going to be inducted into the Ring of Honor, the one and only Eli Manning. And what I'm going to do on the show tomorrow is I'm going to share with you my fondest memories, both professionally and those personal run-ins that I've had, you know, just kind of off the record, behind the scenes sort of stuff. So I'm going to share that with you. And here's how you can get involved with the podcast. And again, this information is in the show notes in case you don't get it written down. What I would like to invite y'all to do is share with me your fondest memories of Eli Manning. And I will include them, you know, as many as I can throughout the show. And we'll just make kind of like a nice little end of the week, kind of a walk down memory lane type of the deal for Eli Manning as the Giants get ready to immortalize him in the Ring of Honor and retire his number 10 jersey. So again, all that information is in the show notes below. And just, you know, real quick, you can tweet me at Patricia_Traina. Just make sure you tag it, Ask P Train. That's how I will find your particular tweets. You can email them to LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. And there's also a phone number that you can phone them in and leave a message. And I'll play some of those messages on the show. So, you know, if you call in, it means you're giving me permission to use your audio. So just a heads up on that. But I hope you'll participate in that. It should be a fun show. And I think and hope that this will come together pretty neat, pretty nicely. So I'm looking forward to doing that show. All right, folks, I'm going to sign off now. And until tomorrow, everybody have a great day.